It's good to see all of you. It's been a great weekend so far. The Majors back here in the corner. Courtney was married on Friday night, and they're here with us all week long. So if you can, take a minute and get to know them. They're great people. And I want to introduce some other great people, Mr. Wesley and Miss Joyce and Marilyn. They're dear friends of mine. Don't hold it against them. They're from Transylvania County. It makes me think of the old movie Transylvania 65,000, but they're not the characters from that movie, if you've ever seen it. But they're great people. Miss Joyce has an infectious laugh that is great. She's supposed to blow me a kiss while I'm preaching. She was challenged to do that tonight by Derek, but I think she's afraid to do that. I said, well, there's been plenty of guys that have done that, David. He's already doing it right now. So, you know, and also I feel sorry for our Tennessee fans here. You know, I saw Nathan put his head in his hands last night and just, oh, it was heartbreaking. My heart's with you guys. Well, my lesson tonight is, what is the purpose of the road you're traveling? You ever think about that? What is the purpose of the road you're traveling? The road that you're on, the direction that you're heading, what is the purpose? Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about what I'm supposed to be doing? You know, for me, the road I've been traveling, it's been going great. Been going fine. No problems, no issues. Well, my kidneys decided to say, wait a second, big guy. We're going to change some things for you. So back November, December last year, my kidneys started acting up a little bit, and I've got a disease called IgA nephropathy. It's where my kidneys think that I'm being attacked by, you know, viruses all the time, so my kidneys just work like crazy. They're working twice as hard. But they've been great since 2005. They haven't been acting up and everything. So, you know, when the doctor diagnosed it, he said it could be great for 10 years, 20 years, or tomorrow we'll be looking for a kidney somewhere, renal failure. So that was kind of a, you know, a sombering type thing, you know. And I remember sitting there thinking, oh, wow, you know, what's it going to be like? Well, 12 years has passed. Hadn't acted up since. Well, it decided to act up. And so went through a bunch of tests and everything. And, you know, when you go through tests and go through biopsies and what have you, you're always worried about what they're going to find. And, of course, he came back and he said, well, your kidney disease, it's progressed a little bit, but you're still in good shape. We're going to put you on some medicine. It's going to help you out. And we're like, me and Melissa looking like, well, that's another pill I have to take in the morning, you know. But then he says, it's going to be chemo that you're on. And we both looked at each other, and I can remember that look. Chemo. You know, you think cancer. And it's not cancer. This chemo drug is supposed to calm it down, put it in its place. And so it stopped the road I was traveling. You know, most of you know my love for cycling. I spend probably do about 3,000 miles a year on a bicycle. And I've done it for over 20 years. And then the doctor says after the chemo, he says, and no more bike riding. And I said, Doc, you're making me mad now. But he took something away from me. And so the road I was traveling changed at that point. I was more worried about the cycling, that part of it. But really, my life changed at that point because there had to be a focus. There had to be a purpose in what I was doing. And that purpose is, it's been a bumpy road, you know. I don't recommend the chemo diet, but it works. It works. 25 pounds, I guess, in 6 to 8 weeks. But God has a plan for us. And sometimes the road we're traveling on is not the road that he wants us on. And he'll make a change in you. And if you're listening, you know that that's when you have to do something. And so I found myself really, I was along for the ride. I was along for the ride now to see where God's taking me and the purpose that he's given me. You know, a lot of times we don't know what our purpose is. We flounder. We kind of get blown around by the wind, you know, going different directions. We don't have a true focus in what our purpose is. But God directs us by his word. God directs us in the way that we need to go. It's just a matter of, are we listening? Are we listening to the pathway that he set before us? And a lot of times we're not. We're too hard-headed. We're too stubborn. We're too much about self. But you know, when we sit here and we look at Acts chapter 8, if you want to go ahead and turn there, Acts chapter 8, we're going to see a road that's being traveled and the purpose of those traveling that road when we get towards the end of it. But when we look at the very beginning of Acts chapter 8, we're going to see that they buried Stephen. And they see what happened to Stephen because he was out evangelizing. He was out sharing God's word. And so we see that at this time, Stephen's been killed. And now the apostles, they've dispersed throughout Judea and Samaria. And so they're out, they're leaving and everything. You would think that that would be fear. That would be running from the problem. But the road that they traveled, the purpose of that road was to share the gospel. And if we look at the example there, it shows many were brought to Christ. Many were brought to Christ by their efforts. And we know that right now, Saul is doing his job, and he's good at his job. He's persecuting Christians. He's putting them in jail. He's taking the men and women. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's passionate about his role. He's passionate about his purpose, the road that he's supposed to travel. We look on ahead and we see that, you know, Philip is preaching in Samaria and he's doing the things that he's supposed to do. And many are coming to the church. They're being baptized into Christ. And then we see Simon the sorcerer. He is actually brought to Christ. But then again, we see him at the very end there where he wanted the healing powers and paid money. He wanted to pay money for it. And that's when they rebuked him. They said, no more. You can't do that. You can't do that. You need to repent and get right with God. But we see the effort that Philip made on the road that he was traveling. And then we come down to the Ethiopian eunuch. And you know, you see two people. They're put on two different roads. Actually, it's the same road. But there are two different purposes here. The Ethiopian eunuch right now, he's traveling to worship. That was his purpose, is to travel to worship God. And what is Philip's purpose? What is his purpose? God said, go to the road. Excuse me. Let me pull up the Bible for you. If you have Acts chapter 8 opened up. It says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So we see the purpose. He was supposed to go down there and do this. God's leading him. And that's what we need to think about. Is the purpose of the road we're traveling on, are we traveling that with intentions of serving God, with serving Christ, with doing the things that we're supposed to do? And he goes on, he says, so he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. So Philip has been charged with doing something. He's supposed to go down there and find this Ethiopian eunuch. And he's supposed to help him with what he's struggling with. And if we think about this, in our travels, the road that we're traveling down, we come in contact with so many people who are lost, who are confused, who don't know the direction that God wants them to go in. And our opportunities in life is to share God's word, to present it in a way that pleases God, most importantly, but directs them to salvation. That is the most important job we have. And every road that we travel on, we face those who are lost. Every road that we travel on. We deny it. We turn our head. We walk away. We run from our responsibilities. We're not focused on the purpose of the road that we're traveling on. And he goes on, he says, this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot, stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. And he says, do you understand what you are reading? How many times have we seen that? How many times have we experienced that, being with somebody that they're studying the Bible, but they don't truly understand what they're supposed to do? Are we stepping up and being Philip at that time? When we talk about Isaiah 53, and that's what he's reading right now, when you think about what it is that he's reading about our Christ, our Savior, and the life that he lived, and the issues, the things that he faced throughout his life, there is no majesty about him. But he sat down and he started talking with him. He said, then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. And he said, how can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. each one of us have that opportunity to explain salvation to those who are lost along the road we are traveling. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading the passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" How many times have we seen that where somebody, they want to know something about God, but yet nobody will give them the answer, or nobody will direct them in the way that they need to go? And we have that opportunity. We live this faith, this true faith, this godly faith, that we're supposed to be out there with a purpose, not a selfish purpose, but a purpose to serve God, to share His Word. Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. I know you've had experiences where you've had studies with people, and you sit down and they're asking about what it is to be a Christian, or, "I don't understand, I don't know enough." This is the greatest example of not knowing enough, and yet somebody stepping up and sharing the truth with them. We're never going to know everything we need to know about the Bible. That's our weakness. But His strength is He gives us this Word to study and grow. And he goes on, he says, "Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'Look here. Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?'" From a simple stop and check and see how you're doing, do you understand what you are reading? And now we hear him say, "Here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Then we see Philip, however, appeared at Azotus, and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch is a story that I love to share with kids when I'm studying with them, when I get the opportunity to sit down and talk about baptism, because of the example that's given of how we as Christians can help lead those to Christ. Each one of us have that opportunity. Each one of us have that desire in our heart to share the gospel. But each one of us need to decide on what road we're going to go down and with what purpose we're going to do that. Many of us might shy away and not do the thing that we're supposed to do. But as in the Ethiopian eunuch, his purpose was to worship God and to learn more about God. Philip's purpose was to be there to help guide him to God. The choice is yours. Are you willing to help those who are lost be guided back to God? Be guided to God? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to say, "Okay, my road that I am traveling on right now is not the one God has set for me"? And sometimes it hurts. Sometimes our self gets in the way. But it's time. It's time. He says, you have a purpose. You have a purpose to go out and share the gospel. It's not no longer about you. It's about serving God. And tonight you have that opportunity to choose the road that you want to go down. And if you're not a Christian, you have that opportunity to put on Christ. What a beautiful road is that? To put Christ on in baptism. To know that you are a son of God. A child of God. And those of us who are Christians, are we going down the wrong road? Are we making the right choice? Are we going astray from what God expects of us? Are we doing things that don't please God? They please ourselves, but they don't please God. So those are the things that we have to think about. What is the purpose of the road that we're traveling? So I challenge you tonight as we stand and sing.